You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
It's going to be fourth down. Last play of the game, barring a penalty. It all comes down to this.
When in doubt, get somebody.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors, will you let this be taken away from you? No, sorry. No way.
You must go seize the
it's
moment.
It's going to come down to the signal. Fight down, Ben Davis. Fight down, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Inside Ben Davis Football. I am your host, Corey Ravings. We're coming to you live from the Arby's on West 10th Street. I'm joined by the man on my left, Mr. Jeff Robinson. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great tonight. How about you?
I'm all right. I'm also being joined by Mr. John Easter. How you doing, sir?
Good evening, Corey.
Well, thank you.
And I'm doing quite well here at Arby's on West 10th Street.
Yeah, I'm also being joined by the main man, Mr. Mike Kirshner. How you doing, coach?
Thanks, Corey. Appreciate it.
So what happened to Tech last week?
Well,
I like how you asked that.
I don't know what happened to Tech. I thought we did some interesting things. They were a little outmanned with some of the kids. I mean, he's fighting a battle. Coach Henderson does a great job, but you know, he's running 40 kids 10 through 12, and we're running 153 kids 10 through 12, and so our level of athlete sometimes and ability to play and do different things is maybe a little bit different than what they can do. And I think that kind of hinders them. I did think his kids played hard. I thought they were physical. Just didn't have enough weapons, so to speak, in order to make it happen. I like that we came out fast. I believe third play of the game, Chris Evans broke one of his three touchdown runs on the night. Finished with four. He only carried the ball four times for 112 yards and three touchdowns. Had two catches on the night, but saw limited action. You know, we jumped on him up 14-0. I got a little frustrated, a little disappointed towards the end of the first quarter till about the middle of the second. We just kind of sat back and relaxed. We had the ball, you know, first and goal to five, and we fumble and can't punch it in. We get the ball right back. Our defense, I believe, started the game with seven straight three and outs. They didn't get a first down until we began to sub in the third quarter. So I was a little disappointed. You know, we get the ball right back, force a bad punt. You know, we throw a pass. Story fumbles it again. So we have back-to-back fumbles. No, you know, we're not executing. We're starting to get sloppy in our play. And then we kind of rebounded and scored four quick ones right there before half. You know, it was just kind of boom, 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 and we're up 42-0 at half. We told the starters they'd play one series of the first half. The offense goes down and score. Defense gets a three and out. Offense goes down and score, and then we sub. And I was really probably the most pleased that night with our young kids. We played all 100 kids that we dressed, significant minutes. I thought our sophomore JV/sophomore offense executed very well. Led us on two more touchdown drives. Reese Taylor threw the ball well. Brent Harris threw the ball well. Our young kids, Brock Thompson, had several catches, and Manning had a touchdown run. So we spread it out. We got a lot of touches, a lot of carries, a lot of kids' experience, which hope it carries down the road. But frustrated with our lack of mental discipline at different times in that second quarter.
Starting out with a game where you win as easily as you did, compared to past years where you've started with a pretty tough test in Cathedral, what kind of information do you get about your team in terms of where you're at to start this year?
Well, that's a really good question. We were discussing that in our Sunday staff meeting. We don't know where we're at, and that's the problem with a game like this. You want to win, and you're glad you're healthy, and your kids all walked off the field, and they're ready to roll for next week. But at the same time, you're not sure your kids can play four quarters. You're not sure your kids are conditioned mentally for four quarters or physically. You're not sure if their backs are against the wall, what their reaction will be. When we've opened up three of the last four, our Cathedral games came down to the wire, last year being the only exception where we got on them early and just kind of rode it from there. But Cathedral brings out the best in you really early and exposes maybe you think you got the kid in the right place, but you don't. And that didn't happen Friday night. If it's going to be exposed, it's going to happen this Friday.
Coach, when you look at TACA, a team that will probably be pretty competitive, I think, in their conference and probably win some games there. Very good fan support, I thought. Pretty good crowd there for the game. It was a good atmosphere, I thought, for high school football. But like you say, how do you get your team pumped up? Did you feel the need to keep getting them pumped up when the score was so kind of out of whack?
Well, getting them pumped up for the first game is never an issue. It really wouldn't have mattered who we played. Everybody gets excited for the right. first game. Where I felt like we fell off, before I get to answering your question, is once we got up and it seemed pretty easy to go down and score, we stopped focusing on the little things, putting the ball away, ball security, penalties. I think our offense, all different areas, not just the starters, but even the second, third, we jumped off sides five times. We had a couple block in the backs. Those kind of things bother me. But as far as throughout the game, it takes a little bit of getting them to understand you got to play your best all the time, not just when it's a good quality opponent. So we kind of on their emotions at halftime to execute. You know, that's graded film. We're going to grade you. You're going to see it on film on Saturday. And how do you want that film to look?
Well, follow up too on the officiating. There was something that we had a question about in the booth, and I'm not sure that we ever got it strained out. I think it was in the first quarter because I was still calling play-by-play at the time. They called some sort of pass interference call, and then it seemed like Ben Davis's offense came back out on the field. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, there were several things like that were odd. One of them, I'll add another one that you know got called. We had a long pass or run down our sideline to about the 30. And we got called for blocking in the back at the 20.
Yeah, the flag came in at the end of
it. Well, that one was weird because it was a block in the back on us, and it was a legitimate call, but we should have gone back 10 yards from the 30. They marked us off 10 yards from the 20 and gave us the ball at the 30 where we went out of bounds. And I'm like, guys, that ain't right. You know, well, yeah, you know. So I don't know. There was a couple like that. They called us for a face mask. We got the video. We never touched the helmet in any way, shape, or form. The kid just kind of turned his head around. I think they thought we pulled it, but we've got it on video. But that happens. You're going to get calls. There was a couple that, you know, we had the one where they fumbled a punt, and then they took it back and marked off the penalty. And I don't know if you saw me out on the field. I said, I want the ball. And they like, well, we're marking off the penalty. I said, no, I want the ball. Well, and then they had that big meeting and gave us the ball, you know. And so first game for them, too, you know, so they're working out the jitters as well.
There was another play during that game where Ajay lateraled the ball out to Whitthorn as he was rolling out to his right, and some would call that a brilliant athletic play or a dangerous play. What's your opinion on it?
It's dangerous. You get away with it. He's going down. He's in the grasp. It's a sack, and I've seen it before where you know, the NFL guys do it. They'll flick it to a guy standing out there, and they'll make a great play, and everybody oohs and ahs. I've also seen where you flick it, and the other team ends up with it and goes the other way for 60 yards and a touchdown. You know, ball security is very big to me. That's why I was, you know, pointing out the we had, what, three fumbles on the night, you know, I believe. That's unacceptable, and two of them by seniors. So that's been a point of emphasis this week. I thought our kids have done a good job. Our coaching staff's made it a big deal. You know, crowd loves those kind of plays, but I don't know from a coaching standpoint that I do.
Chris Evans, obviously, has got to be one of the most explosive players in this state. Starting out the year, 75% on his carries to hit the end zone there.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
His touches were very limited. We're trying to keep him healthy. You know, we really didn't need to pound him. He's going to get a lot of carries down the road the way it is. But, you know, he had four carries, 112 yards, three touchdowns, and that was really the end of his night. He had a couple catches in there, but he saw limited action, you know, because he's in a different gear. When he gets into space, he'll make you pay. And if you don't get a square hit on him, he's elusive. He gets out there quickly and makes things happen. He's a special kind of kid, you know. He loves the game. He loves to work. He doesn't take days off. He doesn't look for ways out. You know, he's got a blue-collar type mentality.
Coach, you talk about playing 100 players, getting everybody in the game. Not a luxury that you get a lot of times in, against a MIC competition. So what kind of benefits does that give you in that you get some players in game trim?
Well, it keeps the players happy. It keeps them coming back to practice because they see the, you know, they get an opportunity to show what they can do under the lights on a, you know, versus a JV game, which is on a Saturday morning. It gathers a little bit of experience. You know, we got a really good sophomore class. We talked about that last week. But you got running backs like Johnny Adams carrying the ball, and his junior Jalen Robinson, and Joey Person, and Greg Hurt, and all those guys got touches. And when you get a few touches in a varsity game, the next year when you're kind of counting on those kids, it's not such a shock because it's not their first night under the lights.
There was one player I was particularly impressed by during the game, and that's Zion Blow. How impressed were you with his performance?
He caught the ball extremely well. I don't know what he ended up with. I believe it was over 100 yards catch receiving. I know he had at least one touchdown. I don't know if it was more than one.
The big throw by Alfonso.
Alfonso Howard. He's very quick. Got great speed. Catches the ball well most of the time. Would like to see better blocking, more physicality out of him. You know, become the complete receiver, not just the guy who catches the ball. And we're always on our kids about that.
Good. I'm sorry, you caught me off guard. I thought you were going to take it right there, Corey. What probably concerned you the most in terms of something you saw on the field that maybe you really thought your team needed to work on this week in practice?
Well, besides ball security, the other one was just our mental. Not our mental in remembering plays or where we're going, our mental in the number of penalties. Penalties either kill drives that you're trying to have, or they are drive killers. You know, they can be. You can look at them both ways. We have a defensive penalty that keeps a drive going. That's a problem. And we had several that led to first downs. We had a pass interference call. We make a beautiful interception. We get a block in the back. And then on the offensive side, man, you get against a good team like we're going to see Friday night against Avon. If we jump off sides, instead of being first and 10, you're first and 15, it changes your mindset. It says, well, it's only 5 yards. Well, 5 yards is tough to come by when you're playing a quality team. We're getting ready to play. So if we don't clean that stuff up, I'm worried what will happen. I mean, you'll get beat is what's going
to
happen.
You mentioned penalties. I know I didn't get to go to your game, and I don't know how many penalties there were. The game I was at, Brownsburg and Pike, 29 penalties between the two sides.
Wow. Yeah, we weren't quite that bad. you know, but bad enough that it's a concern for me that if our kids do not force themselves to focus in every day, it'll be a problem.
You know, my first question was, how do you keep them hyped up? Now the question is, you beat a team 63-0. How do you let the air out of that balloon and really kind of say, hey, in reality, this is what happened?
That started Saturday morning. Vanderbush started with them in the workout. They came out for breakfast and film sessions at about 10 o'clock, expecting to get the attaboys and pats on the back from Coach Kirshner, and they got just the opposite. They got a little bit of a tongue lashing about what is involved, what's going to take to be successful, how we're going to fix this, how we're going to move forward. And if you think that's the best team you're going to play all year and it's going to be like that, you're in for a rude awakening and a very, very long season. So immediately flipped the page, watched a little bit of tech film, got a few things corrected, put the Avon in and started going to work.
All right, well, one more question before we go to break. One game under their belts. Does Ajay Cooper or Alfonso Howard have the edge in the quarterback battle, or do you want to run a two-quarterback system?
No idea at this point. They both played well at times, and they both did some things at times. You just kind of shake your head. So still kind of up in the air. I don't see any reason why you wouldn't see both quarterbacks out there on Friday night.
All right, well, we're going to send it back to the studio real quick, and then we're going to come back with the preview for Avon. So we're going to send it back to the studio for a quick 30-second break here on Inside Ben Davis Football.
A 50-50 ball.
All right, well.
An elbow to the ribs. A sudden flash of tempers. In sports, anything can happen in the heat of the moment. The Indiana High School Athletic Association reminds you that when cooler heads prevail, everybody wins. When the game heats up, will you keep your cool? This message brought to you by the Indiana High School Athletic Association and the high schools in your community.
All right, well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Inside Ben Davis Football. Well, now we're going to get to our preview Avon. So, Coach, what should we look for against Avon?
Well, what you're getting is one of the finest quarterbacks in the state, if not the country, in Brandon Peters. He's very accurate, big tall young man, stands in the pocket, throws it, understands his reads very well. Really scary to watch him throw. They got a great receiving core in a tight end by the name of Moore, a wide receiver by the name of Griffin, who are dangerous, big threats. Moore's got great hands. The tight end has great hands. You got an offensive line that's a little young. They start two freshmen, but they return two seniors who started last year. The Dickinson boy, who I think is an excellent football player, he has moved from guard to center, and then they've moved Shoemake to the left tackle. And so they kind of anchor things down. And then I'm real impressed. They got a little bit of a two running back deal going between these kids. They got number 23 Love, and I'm trying to remember number three's name, DeQuise or something to that effect. Both not very, they're not large kids, but they're very quick, very elusive, run screens very well, run the inside zone very well. And then you throw it on the other side, they got a defense that returns an inside backer by the name of Thompson, who's an all-state football player and bound for college football. I'm positive of that. He's so physical. And then they got another kid that I'm really impressed with, and that's number 31, Fitzgerald. He's like, we call him their adjuster, backer, safety type guy. Very quick, very athletic. And then they had to replace a couple D linemen, and we thought there'd be a little bit of a drop-off there with Belden and the other kid leaving, but A.J. Ecock's back, and then they've subbed in these two other kids, and it doesn't look like there's any drop-off at all. Very solid, very well-coached, Mark Bless team, which is what we're used to, and we're going to have to play at our peak. And I'm not just saying that. The quarterback is so dangerous. He throws the ball so well. He's composed. He's in the pocket. He understands, and it's scary watching him on film.
With the kind of athleticism that you've got on your defense, really the focus probably needs to be on discipline, I would think. What's your take?
Yeah, we're gonna have to keep them guessing. We're gonna have to change up a few coverages. Everybody knows we play a lot of man. We're gonna have to play some cover three, which we've done the last few years anyway, but we may have to play more and try to keep everybody in front, be disciplined, as you said, and, you know, fly to the ball when it's in the air, make tackles. Don't let them get, you know, watching them play plain field, they got behind them a couple times for 40-yard touchdowns. And keep them in front. If they catch it, tackle them and make them play the next play. We're going to have to find a way also to create some pressure on Brandon Peters and try to rattle him a little bit. The negative with that is when you create pressure, you might get him. You might also get him to step up and run out of the pocket, and he's a very good runner as well. And so that creates a scenario that you don't want to get into where he's running around the field with the ball either.
You talk about Peters and the fact that he can sit back there and pick you apart, but also he can make plays with his legs, which we saw him last year attempt to do against Asmar Bilal, and Asmar laid probably one of the most brutal hits that you saw all year. But then Brandon Peters got back up, came back in, played the rest of the game, had a pretty good rest of the game as well. Of course, they didn't win that game, and the Giants came out ahead. But how tough is he? I mean, that was a very – he had a lot of toughness to come back from that.
Yeah, that just shows you the character of the kid. I mean, that was – and it was a clean hit. He hit him face with his face right in the chest and sent him flying, and it was a heck of a hit. But, you know, most kids would not have come back. Most kids would have just said, you know what, you know, we're down. It ain't going to matter.
Call it night.
But that just shows you the character and the toughness of the kid, and you got to respect a kid that can get up and pick himself up and say, you know what, I'm going to keep throwing it.
Okay. All my parts are still attached. I guess, yeah. I'm good to go.
I could hear that hit back in the studio producing.
I think he only missed one play.
Yeah,
because they punted, and then the next series, he was right back on the field.
Yeah, he was
impressive, very impressive.
I remember LeVon and Corey were up there. LeVon Durden, who's here, by the way, former host of
this
program.
Was that what it was, two plays?
Missed two plays. LeVon would remember. He's got that photographic memory. But LeVon and Corey's, I think Corey said, and LeVon said, he's still down, and he's not. He said, I'd stay down or something like that.
It was a pretty good hit. That's why Asmar's at Notre Dame.
That is true. But speaking on Brandon Peters, what ways can we see the Giants try to take him out of the game or try to take away his effect?
I don't know. It's kind of like Chris Evans. I don't know that you completely eliminate the source. Chris Evans is going to get his touches. He's going to get his yards. He's going to get his plays. Brandon Peters, same way. He's going to make plays with his arms. He's going to hit some receivers, and everybody's going to be up in the stands going, cover him. Well, we are, you know, but their receivers are really good too, and their quarterback is really good. We just got to find a way to minimize yards after the catch, put enough pressure on him that he doesn't get that clean release where he gets to be as accurate as he wants to be. Try to change the momentum of the game and keep them guessing as to what we're doing, whether we're playing man or cover three.
Avon's a team that you've been seeing multiple times here recently during a single season. How much does the familiarity with each other impact the game plans that both teams may throw at each other?
Well, I think it does impact the game plan. You got to find new wrinkles both offensively and defensively to keep them guessing a little bit because, you know, we played them twice last year. We played them in the tournament the year before that. So in our last, you know, I don't know, 15 games or so, we played 14 last year. We beat them in the tournament 2 years ago. And so in the last, 16 games, we've played them three times already, and this will be four.
Since 2008, you guys have played six times.
Yeah, so it's in, and now that they're in their regular season, it's going to be more and more, but it's, the familiarity's there. Coach Bless does an unbelievable job, him and his staff, and you know, they're Chris Bombay, their defensive coordinator, awesome guy. Worked with him in the All-Star game, so we're gonna have to have some wrinkles. We're gonna have to adjust some things, and then we're gonna have to adjust in the game, or I should say, our kids are gonna have to adjust in the game. Because if we don't, we'll get behind the eight ball. Because watching him against Plainfield, when he sits in that pocket, he just starts throwing darts. He's impressive. I mean, there's a reason why he was so highly recruited. He's playing in the Army All-American game and should be. You know, I've coached in that. I know what those quarterbacks look like. He looks like them. You know, he's going to Michigan for a reason. You know, he's a quality kid.
Coach, we did get a question into our hashtag, which you can feel free to send to Ask Kirshner is the hashtag. It doesn't have to do with Avon. It has to do with a team that you'll see in a couple weeks, the Warren Central Warriors. And I'll just go ahead and read it because we said, hey, if you send it in, we're going to use them. What's the Warren versus Ben Davis rivalry mean to you, even though you played for Warren? I think I know the answer to this one. I've heard this one before.
Yeah, when I first got here 16 years ago, Ben, my whole life growing up, Ben Davis and Carmel were the heated enemies for me. You know, I grew up and played at Warren and coached at Warren from 90 to 96. And so I coached against Coach Delahan and Kevin Britt and those guys and played against Coach Delahan when he was at Carmel, and he laid a whooping on us when I was in high school. And so, you know, there was not much love there. And then, you know, the job opened up at Warren, I don't mince words, in 2000, and it came down to me and another gentleman, a finalist for the job, Kevin, and Kevin got it, and he did an unbelievable great job, and I didn't, and I wasn't very happy about it, you know, but I'm not going to. So, you know, it was rough for a few years. I've been at Ben Davis 16 years. Everything in my closet is gray, purple, or white, and it says Ben Davis on it, and that's kind of what runs through my veins now, and I don't really think about Warren very much, to be honest with you. Not in a negative way. I mean, it's a huge rivalry. Jason West does a great job, but I just don't think about him much.
I mean, what are the keys defensively for taking on the athleticism of Avon and Brandon Peters, for that fact, because that's got to be a daunting task for any defense. Yeah.
We got to find a way to match up athletically, and that's what we've been working real hard on in practice this week. We got to make sure that the Griffin kid, who's just a phenomenal receiver, I'm pretty sure he's going to Purdue to play baseball, if I'm not mistaken. I think him and the tight end Moore are. That just tells you the kind of athletes. They're all-state football players and they're all-state baseball players. That just tells you, when you can do two and be all-state in both of them, you're a pretty special athlete. So we're going to find a way to get our athletes to match up with theirs. And then in the game of football, you also try to look for mismatches. So I'm trying to find that kid that on their team that maybe isn't quite ready for prime time to match up with one of my kids who is ready for prime time and take advantage of that situation. And they're doing the same thing. You know, we always talk at coaches, we're probably hiding kids. I probably got a kid playing in a spot that probably isn't as good as we would like him to be. And once Mark finds him, he's going to exploit him. And then we're going to try and do the same thing on their end. And so it's a little bit of a chess match back and forth.
seems like a lot of the Avon Ben Davis games of late have been offensive showcases. Is there a way that this game could become a defensive struggle?
I doubt it. You kind of look around the state last weekend, and it's kind of that way everywhere. I mean, you're looking at Carmel Center Grove, 42-38. Brownsburg Pike, 55-34. If I'm wrong on a score, help me here.
Now, you're right on it.
Westfield won 35-24 or something like that over McCutcheon.
55-50, Noblesville, 50, Lawrence North.
The ability for offenses to spread people out and get athletes in space and mismatches has created a scenario where offenses are riding high, and it's hard to defend. It's hard to, you know, if I've got a DB locked on, if I'm a 4-4 DB, that's 5-11, and I'm locked on a receiver who's 4-4, and we're out there in space, and he goes up and gets the ball over me, and it's not like it used to be 10, 15 years ago where you were in the pro eye, you had a fullback and a tailback, and you ran the ISO, and you ran the toss, and you ran the trap, and you threw it a little bit, and then you went right back to running it, and then just kind of, you kind of controlled it. That's not the way the game's played. It's a passing game, but it's a short passing game where your athletes are trying to outdo their athletes, and it's, I don't know. You know, last year we were laughing. I think we mentioned this last week on, you know, everybody's kind of dogging our defense a little bit because we were giving up so many points. And I think I said on the air, I said, well, we gave up 36 to Warren, but they gave up 40. We gave up 45 to Center Grove, but they gave up 49. You know, so their defensive coordinators are going, oh, my God, scratching their head going, what are we doing? You know, and we're the same way. We're trying to get our mismatches and trying to get our athletes on their athletes and take advantage of other things. But it's a tough game now. It's not what it used to be.
It's a bad time to be a defensive coordinator.
Oh, it's like arena ball, man.
Right.
You know you're giving up 60. Just live with it.
Find a way to score 61.
That's, you know, exactly right.
As you look at this rivalry, I mentioned – it's 5-1 right now, Ben Davis, but some of those games have been very close, very tight games that could have flipped either way. And you look back in the last, I think Ben Davis has won four in a row in the rivalry as well.
Lost in 2009.
Lost in the 2009 when the Giants were actually up in that game. 17-0
and lost 27-17.
28-27.
Maybe,
right,
it was good. Maybe, yeah, it was 27-24. They
but,
beat us.
Yeah. But, you know, this is a definitely an Avon team that probably is pretty hungry, mm-hmm, probably thinks they can beat the Giants.
Oh, there's no doubt.
And
can.
And how do you match that?
Well, we got to get our kids to understand that part of our fight a little bit is getting them to understand this isn't 2014. This is 2015, and you've got to set your own standard, your own mark. And so we're constantly pounding on them, you know, like last night in practice, you know, the big talk at the end was, can you go home and look in the mirror and say, I did everything in my power today to beat Avon? Because if you can't, then you cheated yourself and you cheated the team. And so we're just constantly reminding them that we're not there yet. It's a work in progress, and it may not go well Friday. It may not go well against Pike. It may not go well against Center Grove, but it's a process. We got so many new kids playing that it may take some time. It may not be with the people. You know, I know everybody's like, well, we're just reloading. Well, reloading's not true. You're retooling what you've got to do because you've got different kids that can't do the same things that Kyle Kastner did and all those receivers did. And you still got receivers, but it's new quarterbacks. And I say quarterbacks because we haven't settled on one yet. So
one thing I think we noticed, too, it seems like maybe the long passing game might be a little better, but that accuracy that Kyle had that was just so pinpoint,
right,
in the shorter 10 to 20 yards,
right,
30 yards downfield, that just dead accuracy on a bead.
Yeah.
That seems to be what you
missed. We're not there yet. You know, they're young. They're inexperienced. Both our quarterbacks do throw the deep ball extremely well. And have stronger arms. It appears they get the ball down the field farther with, you know, a little more height and a little more velocity. But we're definitely not there accuracy-wise yet. Not even on the same page. But that's why we practice.
And that's why Kyle is the all-time accuracy leader.
Yep. And there's no question.
64%
for a career pass and completion percentage.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
All right, well, Ben Davis plays Abe on Friday. Final thoughts, Coach?
No, we you know, Purple Rain was out Friday. I was real pleased with our crowd, real pleased with our student section. You know, I didn't know how they'd make the trek over to Tech, but they did. You know, we need Purple Rain. You know, Ronnie and the guys, that Isaiah Lewis and the guys that run Purple Rain, Elijah Lewis, they do a great job. We need them to come out. We need fan support. We need to be loud because, you know, Avon's going to bring a ton of people. It's going to be a great night. It's supposed to be sunny. Great atmosphere for our first home game. We haven't been at home yet. We were on the road for the scrimmage, on the road for Texas. It'll be exciting for our kids to get the purple jerseys on it and get after it.
Probably be a bunch of maize and blue in the audience, too.
Yeah, a lot of Michigan. You got two Michigan recruits on the field.
Maybe even a Harbaugh. Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe. Well, like we alluded to earlier, Ben Davis plays Avon this Friday. We'll bring you the coverage starting at 7 o'clock and pregame at 6:15.
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock this week.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we,
6
we've
o'clock.
Got a whole hour pregame.
Yeah. Put in a lot of work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in to Inside Ben Davis Football. We'll be back same time next week live from the Arby's on West 10th Street. Well, that's going to do it here, and we're going to send it back to the studio.
Thanks, Gabby.
Thank you, Gabby.
Presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
WBDG thanks Classic Kings Automotive, located at 8485 West Washington Street. Classic Kings services include the restoration of foreign, domestic, and vintage classic cars and newer autos as well. Classic Kings also offers sales and brokerage services. 317-333-4427 is the number for Classic Kings, on the web at classickings.com. Thanks to Classic Kings Automotive for its support of this WBDG sports broadcast.
Ball comes loose. Giants look to have recovered, and they have.
Welcome to the Mick, freshman. Welcome to the Mick.
Alfonso Howard takes the snap, looks to his left, slings it deep, wide open to Zion Blow. The 10-5 touchdown Giants. Zion Blow just absolutely wide open in space.
Figueredo, no, it's a fake. Kastner's going to roll this one out to the left side. Touchdown Giants. And just like that, it's a 34-17 game. 201, Kastner in the backfield. Evans going to hand it up right up the gut. There again, breaks for another great game. Cuts out to the right side. At the 50, at the
50, yes.
At the 30, at the 20, at the 10. Touchdown Giants.
Oh my God.
Touchdown Giants, and they take the lead over the Senegal Trojans.
Chris Evans has done it again. I repeat, Chris Evans has done it again. Giants lead. Giants lead.
Pierce just takes a snap, looks left, looks right, scrolling out to the right side, trying to take it himself. 45, and boom, it hit there by the middle linebacker. 22 of
Asmar Bilal.
And Asmar Bilal said, hello, Brandon Peters, what are you doing running my territory? And he's Peters is staying down, as I would too.
Right now, it looks like Damon Fine is coming on the field.
The season comes down to this. Damon Fine on the field goal. The snap is good. The hold is down. The kick is gone! Gone! Damon Fine wins it on a 56-yard field goal.
It's high. It's going. It's going. Just short.
It's gone! It's gone!
It's
gone!
Terrible. And Banks is going to have to pick it up. And he's going to launch it. No plan. Oh, he is going to be sacked. No, Banks breaks it. Here comes Banks on the left side. He has room. He gets a beautiful block. Banks cuts up the middle. Here comes Jace.
He has a first down.
Oh, Banks gets a money.
He's going to go.
Touchdown. Touchdown, Jace Banks. Oh, my.
It's going to be fourth down. Last play of the game, barring a penalty. And as they say, Brandon, it all comes down to this. It does. Giants on there. He's on the far sideline. Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play, full house. Corey Nardi under center. It's coming down to this. Who's going to go home 2-0? Corey Nardi! No signal yet. Giants are jumping up and down. And we wait. We wait. It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis! Touchdown, Ben Davis! The Giants win. Wow. Dramatic fashion.
Fifth and motion, hands it to Evans, right down the middle of the field. He might break, but one more. Touchdown, Giants! And that is the nail in the coffin.
And yes, sir, that is going to seal it here. Congratulations. The Ben Davis Giants 38-yard rushing touchdown there by Chris Evans, the playmaker. He deserved one there.
It's been a great week for Ben Davis Sports. This is your Ben Davis Sports Update. I'm Sean Brown.
And I'm Cole Bartek.
First up, we have boys tennis defeated Pike 5-0. They also defeated Southport 5-0. And they defeated Franklin Central 5-0.
Lots of 5-0s. All right, next up we have varsity girls volleyball. Loses to Decatur Central 3-0. They also lose to Lawrence Central 3-1.
And boys soccer defeated Carmel 6-1. And girls varsity soccer defeated Southport 12-1. High scoring game.
The boys cross country team finishes 10th out of 15, and the girls cross country team finishes 6th.
And last but not least, the Ben Davis varsity football team defeated Arsenal Tech last Friday 63-0.
And that has been your Ben Davis Sports Update. I'm Cole Bartek.
And I'm Sean Brown.
WBDG thanks the Harrison for its support of this sports broadcast on Giant 90.9.
The Harrison is an independent living senior community that offers apartments with floor plans ranging from studio to two bedrooms.
The Harrison is home to restaurant-style dining and activities.
317-291-1112 is the phone number for the Harrison, located at 3060 Valley Farms Road near the intersection of Girls School Road and US 136.
Online at harrisonretirementliving.com.
Quickfire offense by the Giants. They line up fairly quickly.
So Howard again. Very efficient on this drive. The quarterback hands off to Whitthorn, and he does get in this time for the touchdown. The Giants lead now 13-0, and Skiles will come on to make it 14.
Playing in the pistol formation as they got the 42 of Hayden Fain as they hand it off to Chris Evans. Chris Evans busts up the middle, and touchdown, Giants. As Chris Evans blasts straight through the hole, left by Hayden Fain. Well, Ajay Cooper hands off to Chris Evans. Chris Evans blows up the middle, goes out to his right, has one defender to beat, gets around the 10, 5, touchdown Giants. Chris Evans with a nice long run, scores for the Giants, and that makes it
35 yards.
Yeah, 35-yard touchdown. The Giants right now lead 27-0. It is fourth down, and they're going to go for it. Ajay looks out to his right, overthrows it to Story Emerson.
Oh.
Pass the 10, 5, touchdown. Story Emerson in. That was a bit of an overthrown football, but still, nonetheless, Emerson got up for it. Alfonso Howard takes a snap, looks to his left, slings it deep, wide open to Zion Blow. The 10-5 touchdown Giants. Zion Blow just absolutely wide open in space. Trips out on the far side, and Hoskins by himself on the near side. Tosses it out to Johnson. Johnson gets around and touchdown. Jukes around one defender, gets in the end zone.
6-yard run there.
By the 14 of Johnny Adams, he slings out to the right, and Johnny Adams is going to go to the end zone, take it all the way. Touchdown, Giants. Slings it out to the 87. He gets around, and he is going to go all the way. And that is the 87 to Keyshawn Tunstall. Jukes around a couple tackles, gets into the end zone. The Giants have scored another one.
Ball comes loose. Giants have to recover, and they have.
Welcome to the Mick, freshman. Welcome to the Mick.
Welcome back to your Mick and 6A update, where we give you the biggest games from around the Mick and the 6A in the state of Indiana. Here is your host, Corey Vervinge. Mick football started up this week in a big way. Ben Davis beat Arsenal Tech 63-0. Center Grove mounted a comeback to beat Warren Central 42-38. Derek Hawthorne stole the show against Brownsburg as he threw for 5 touchdowns as Pike beats Brownsburg 55-34. Carmel also defeated Hamilton Southeastern 28-7. Lawrence North suffered defeat in a 55-50 shootout to Noblesville. North Central was shut out by Fishers 28-0. Lawrence Central also suffered defeat to Cathedral 32-14. Now, moving on to the other 6A games around the state of Indiana, Penn defeated Valpo 34-0. Southport edged out Roncalli 27-21. Perry Meridian defeated Greenwood 28-17. Franklin Central was defeated by Decatur Central 34-26. Columbus North demolished Franklin 54-7. Carroll defeated North Wayne Northrop 48-14. While Homestead outlasted Fort Wayne Concordia 49-33. Crown Point was defeated by Lowell 21-7. Merrillville also lost to Andrean 12-15. Chesterton fell to Kokomo 6-5, while Portage fell to Mishawaka 40-10. Jeffersonville traveled to Pulaski County in Kentucky only to lose 64-26. And in the final 6A game of Week 1, New Albany defeated Providence 44-7. Moving on to this week's MIT games, first up we have Ben Davis hosting Avon. Next we have Brownsburg at Lawrence North. Fishers travels to Pike. Fulton Southeastern travels down to North Central. Lawrence Central hosts Chittard. Center Grove hosts Whiteland. Carmel and Warren travel down to Ohio to take on Cincinnati LaSalle and Cincinnati Colerain respectively. Moving on to the other 6A games around the state of Indiana, we have Penn taking on Merrillville. Southport hosts Westfield. Lake Central takes on East Chicago Central. Columbus North takes on Columbus East. Perry Meridian travels to take on Decatur Central. New Albany travels to Castle. Jeffersonville hosts Seymour. Noblesville takes on Hamilton Heights. Homestead travels to take on Fort Wayne North, while Warsaw travels to take on East Noble. Carroll travels to take on Fort Wayne South. Fort Wayne Northrop travels to take on Fort Wayne Wayne. Cathedral joins Carmel and Warren Central traveling down to Ohio to take on Cincinnati Moeller. LaPorte travels to take on Hobart. Portage hosts Lowell. Valpo hosts Gary West, while Crown Point hosts Mishawaka. Chesterton hosts Munster. And in the final 6A game of the week, Tech travels north to take on Kokomo. This concludes your MIC and 6A update. Join us next week to look at the final scores of this week and look at the games of next week. I'm your host, Corey Ravine.
The first week of the Indiana high school football season provided easy wins for Avon and for Ben Davis. Week two figures to be much tougher as the state-ranked Orioles visit the top-ranked Ben Davis Giants. Michigan fans will take note of Avon quarterback Brandon Peters and Ben Davis running back slash wideout Chris Evans. Come next year, both will be wearing maize and blue. Both were impressive in their first games of the season. Peters threw for 5 touchdowns and 246 yards as his Orioles defeated Plainfield 48-0. Evans rushed 4 times for 112 yards and 3 touchdowns as his Giants defeated the Titans of Tech. While Evans and Peters provide offensive firepower, they usually don't play directly against each other. Instead, it's up to the two defenses to try to silence these two stars and not let this become a shootout at the Giants' Corral. It should be one to watch. Who will come out ahead tonight as the top-ranked Ben Davis Giants host state-ranked Avon? Live from Giants Stadium, the game is next. Tonight's game on Giant 90.9 is made possible by our underwriters, Classic Kings and the Harrison.
Gray takes it, hands it off to Porter up the middle. He's at the 5.
It's over! It's over!
Davis wins on the loss of Connell on Porter.
The snap is good. The hold is down. The kick is gone! David Fine wins it on a 56-yard field goal.
For coverage of tonight's game, we take you live to the stadium and WBDG sports analysts Sean Brown. Cole Bartek, and the voice of the Giants, Corey Vervaint.